Father, we love you. Lord, I ask personally, Father, I ask now for you to settle me, to settle everything about me, Father, just everything. Father, that I might just hear from you, Lord, that I might see you and hear from you. Father, and that you might speak, Father, through me to these women. Father, we want most of all, just most of all, Father, for you to be honored during this time, during this time. Father, I pray that for, just for protection, Father, around me, around this room, around everyone in it. Father, thank you. We just love you, Father. Please just speak. Just speak, Father. Thank you. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's so good to be here. I'm a little nervous, in case you haven't noticed. We'll get that right out of the way. I love the verse for the theme verse for this season of Mom's Connection. I love the fact that it speaks to being in the presence of God and finding him there. I love the verse. I'm going to find it right here. It says, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with your presence, with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. It's so true. I can't tell you how true it is. The title of today's of what I want to talk about today is a little bit different than was in the announcement. It is finding joy, discovering the joy of Jesus Christ and experiencing his joy in the journey of life. So it's a little bit different to me to have joy and then to have joy in the journey of life, to have joy in Jesus, in other words, regardless of the circumstances of life. Because joy is not an emotion. You know, a lot of times we think about joy, oh, I'm so joyful, I'm so happy. There are times in the Bible where the word joy is used for happiness, absolutely. But the joy that I'm going to talk about today, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength that Nehemiah talks about, is not an emotion. It's Holy Spirit given. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a byproduct of intimacy that we have with Jesus Christ. And it's a joy that comes from being absolutely convinced that God loves us and that he will not ever leave or forsake us and that we will spend eternity with him in heaven. That's joy. When we get that joy, that sense of joy way down deep in our spirit, it changes everything about us. It changes life. It changes the way we see life. It changes the way we hear from God. It changes the way we approach God. It changes everything about us. What I want to talk about today is spending time in the presence of God. And what I don't want to do is confuse that in any way with the term that we have our quiet time. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Do I have to 11 or what's my time? It's 30 to 11? Okay. When we talk about having a quiet time in the church, there's nothing wrong with the term quiet time. Nothing, absolutely nothing. So I don't want to be offensive to anyone. But I do want to say that it's not a term that's found in our Bibles. If you look in your concordance, you're not going to find the term quiet time. You will find alone with Jesus. You will find being in the presence of God. But you won't find quiet time. And the reason that that matters to me is I think that, I hear from a lot of women, and I believe that the term quiet time has taken on a lot of negative connotations. I think that as women, we have the sense that if we don't spend the right amount of time in our quiet time, if we don't have a quiet time, if we have a quiet time wrong, then maybe our baby won't sleep through the night, or maybe our husband won't get the job or the promotion or the raise, or maybe I'll still be depressed, or maybe, you know, we attach all of these things to our behavior with God. You know, and it goes the other way as well. We might think, I had a really good quiet time today, or I have for a week, or I have for 6 months, and therefore God kind of owes me. You know, and it's just not true. These things just aren't true. Going into the presence of God has everything to do with knowing him, with understanding, with believing who he is, it's a beautiful thing. There's not a method to it. And because of that, there's no measurement for it. It's something that we cannot fail at. It's something that if we haven't done in in 2 years, we can still do today because God's not mad at us. The reason that we can come into the presence of God at all is because of what Jesus did for us. It has nothing to do with us and our behavior. It has to do with the behavior of Jesus Christ. Okay? So we're always, 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 always invited to come into the presence of God. Always. And you know, quiet time, I mean, and now that I've said I want to talk about kind of having a quiet time or spending time in the presence of God, I don't want anybody to shut me off because I don't want anybody to think, really, I mean, this lady, you know, she has no idea what my life is like. She has no idea that I have 12 kids or I have one that seems like 12 kids and I have no time and I have no sleep and I have no rest anyway. And really, it's just going to be one more thing I have to add to my list of things to do. And doggone it, if I don't do it, God's going to be mad at me or God's not going to love me or just add in, fill in the blanks, whatever you happen to think about that. But it's not that at all. You know, God didn't give us our children. I mean, I'm old now, and there are a few of us who are old in here as well. But we were young. We were young, and we had our babies, and we get this. And that's part of what I want to talk about today. God didn't give us our babies and then say to us, oh, too bad for you. You're not going to be able to connect to me now, are you? Because I've given you those beautiful children. He gave us those babies and said to us, connect to me with those beautiful children, you know? So there's not a right or wrong way to do this. For instance, when my babies were little, I mean, I was a new Christian when I had babies. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that story, but some of the ways that I had this time with the Lord, I was totally blessed to not grow up. Well, it's not going to come out right. I didn't grow up in the church, but I was blessed to not be kind of plagued with the term quiet time. I never heard that term as a young woman in faith. But a lot of the time that I spent with Jesus was in the middle of the night when my babies wouldn't sleep, and they never slept. I don't think they still sleep through the night. Or, you know, singing, we sing Bible songs with those things that we used to connect to our belts. What were those things called? Yes, they played tapes. And we use our headphones and we play them and or reading the kids' Bible to them, the children's storybook Bible. That's how I learned the story about David and Goliath and, you know, all the Bible stories, because I wasn't raised in the church. So that's how I heard them. That's okay. That's kind of having a quiet time. I don't like that phrase, but that's kind of like having a quiet time. You know, that's whatever time we spend with the Lord, however it is. The difference is, you know, God is always present. But when we talk about coming into the presence of God, there is a difference there. And let me tell you what I love. I love the fact that Victoria talked about being intentional. The difference between always being in the presence of God, because we can't ever get away from him, and then coming into the presence of God is intention. It's like it's like coming into the presence of God for the purpose of finding him. The Bible says when we seek him, we will find him. When we seek him with all of our heart, and with all of our heart literally means with our whole person, when we have set our mind to do so. That's literally what it means. It means to come intentionally into the presence of God, fully expecting to find him. And the onus is on God there, because it says when we do that, we will hear from him. We will find him. So it's not a work that we need to do. We pretty much need to sit. We need to sit, just sit with him. Just sit with him. And it's up to him. We interact. We're just a vessel. We sit and then he speaks. I want to share a little bit about a little tiny piece of my journey with the Lord that has a lot to do actually with my children being young and being a young mom. So I want to go back maybe about 30 years-ish. I'm going to just set up the scenario for you all. I'm trying to settle down. The scenario is this. This is what my life looked like at the time. I was a Christian six-ish years. My husband traveled for work for about 2.5 years during this time, but definitely during all of this time. He was home on the weekends, and he was gone from Monday through Friday, basically. During this time, I had my son, and he was 1.5 years old at this time that I'm going to tell you about. And I was pregnant with my daughter. And I was very, very afraid that I would lose her to miscarriage, because a few months before that, I had a miscarriage. And before I had my son, I had four. So I was very concerned about having a miscarriage. And I was kind of nuts. I had a hard time growing up. A lot of stuff happened as a kid. I was trying to deal with all of that stuff. I was kind of wondering, in the whole scheme of things, what does this Christian life mean? I was lonely. I was depressed. During this time, my daughter was born 2 months early, so she came home with a monitor. She had sleep apnea, which is when babies die of SIDS, they had sleep apnea. And she also had a problem with her heart, which those are all very cool stories in and of themselves. But for this story, this is what I'm going to share. I had a C-section with my daughter. So I was physically hurting. I was emotionally hurting. I had been depressed for years. I just didn't know what to do. So I struggled a lot. So my mother-in-law, who's just amazing, Christian, godly, beautiful woman, was my very first mentor I ever had. And so I would talk with her a little bit. She didn't live real close, so, you know, I just didn't have a lot of help in that regard. But I spoke with her fairly often, and she would say to me, she was in a program at that time called Evangelism Explosion. And the big thing in Evangelism Explosion is to read the book of John. You know, that's kind of how they evangelize. It's kind of an old school program. But she said to me, you know, I shared a little bit, and she'd say, Jay, I don't know. I don't know the answer to all your questions that you have or these dilemmas that you have, but what I want you to do is just read the book of John. So I'm like, okay, all right. So I'll read the book of John. And I, like many of you, I thought, well, really, like, when am I going to do that? I mean, I have kids who never sleep. I have a baby who tries to die all the time, day and night, because she's sleeping, and she's sleeping during the day and she's sleeping at night. I have all these fears that she will. I have the weight of this responsibility of her doing so, and my husband's not home. He's never home. So I'm lonely. I'm trying not to be resentful, although I am, to be honest. I mean, one time my husband came home and said, I had a layover in Colorado, I think it was, and it was like a 8-hour layover, so I went skiing. And I remember thinking, well, I should have been thinking, oh, Lord, thank you that he had that rest. But I was thinking, I wish he had broken his leg. I mean, I don't know. I was resentful. You know, today, I'm not saying that's the right way to think, so don't get the wrong way. The right way to think is, and hopefully today I think, oh, honey, I'm so glad you got that rest. But I was having a very hard time, okay? So my mother-in-law told me to read the book of John, so all right, I'll read it. So I was reading the book of John, and a very strange thing happened. And when I would read it was like when I'd wake up in the middle of the night and my daughter threw one of her alarms or something, and they were frightening. You know, they were just horribly frightening. And the things that you had to do to like make her kind of come back around and stuff like that. So I'd have the book of John open, and so I'd sit and I'd rock her and I'd nurse her, you know, and I'd read the book of John out loud, because if I didn't read out loud, I wouldn't be able to concentrate. You know, I'd be, and no kidding, read your Bibles out loud, lady, because you can't think of anything else. You have to hear it. You're hearing it then and saying it. So you're reading it and saying it. So you're using two of your senses also. So I'd read the book of John out loud, and you know, enough time passed that I got through the book of John, and I read it again, and the strange thing that started to happen is as I read, I started to hear God talk about how much he loved me and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, really? I don't think so. Because what you're saying to me through the book of John, don't tell me that you love me, because all of my experiences as a kid and my experiences even today, I'm not sensing. I mean, I was way happier thinking that he maybe just wasn't aware of the things that were happening in my life that had happened as a child. So I it was working against me. I was reading this Bible and reading the book of John, and you know, it's just working against me. So I'd go to my mother-in-law and I'd tell her that, and she of course didn't know what to say to that, because that's just a strange thing. And she'd say, well, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know the answer to your questions, but just keep reading the book of John. So I did that, and that was very wise counsel on her part, actually. So over time, I don't remember how much time, it was a long time ago, but over time, I started to believe that God loved me. I did. I absolutely started to believe it. And then I found myself with a desire to read the book of John. That's the only thing I read for a long time, was the book of John. I couldn't, for the life of me, even during that time, I didn't want to believe it, to be honest. I wanted God to help me understand why things happened in my past didn't look like his love for me. I wanted some explanation from him. And I had a long period of actually being very angry with him. And it came from reading my Bible, you know, which of course isn't supposed to happen. You're supposed to read your Bible and you're supposed to feel the love and, you know that God loves you and you're supposed to be able to relate and all this kind of stuff. But it just wasn't my experience. And so I started to believe that he loved me. Then a while after that, several years, actually 4 or 5 years ago, I was doing an interview with someone, and I had shared my testimony with this person, and she said to me, why did you just start to believe that God loved you? And I told her, I don't know, it's just a mystery of the gospel, you know, and there is a lot of mystery. It's just a mystery. I don't really understand why that is the case at all. And she challenged me on that. And she said, I want you to think about that. And I thought, well, dude, it's just a mystery. I mean, I don't know. There's really nothing to think about. So I told her, okay. So I went to the Lord. I asked the Lord, you know, Lord, I do believe it. I do. But Lord, tell me why. Why do I believe it? What in the world? I read the book of John. I got mad, but I started to believe. So tell me, how did that happen? You know? And so he said, go back and read the book of John. So I went back again and I read the book of John. I know that book pretty well. And so I'm reading in the book of John, and it occurs to me, it's like I didn't hear an audible voice. I didn't, but I definitely heard God. It's like a knowing that you get in your spirit, you know you're hearing from God. And I heard God, this is what I heard God say. And this is what I want to talk today some about too, is just intimacy with Jesus, because, and you ladies just need to know, this subject is like so near to my heart. I mean, it's so incredibly personal to me that it's almost hard to talk about, because it feels very personal. It's just very personal, you know, my relationship with the Lord, just as everybody's. And everybody's walk is their own, and they all have their own. Everybody's is okay. Nobody should look like anybody else's. But it's just hard to talk about a little bit. So anyway, I went back to the book of John, and I heard the Lord say to me, yes, back then, when you were yelling at me and when you were carrying on, and for several months, I think it might have been even over a year of just so much anger and so much anger. He said to me, I heard you say you were hurt, you were injured, you were confused, you were sad, you were depressed. You were so incredibly wounded through these circumstances of life. And what he said to me at that time was, I hear that you're wounded. Let me tell you about my wounds for you. Let me show you my wounds for you. So as I spent that time with Jesus, even though it didn't look like a quiet time, it didn't look like 30 minutes, it must be quiet. It's never quiet. My quiet times are never quiet. They're anything but quiet. That's what he said to me. He started to teach me about the gospel in my own life. He showed me his wounds for me. And he caused me to believe his love for me through those wounds, which of course is the gospel. That's what happens. That's what happens when we spend time with Jesus, ladies. It doesn't matter, you know, if we don't have time. A century before us, those ladies didn't have time either. You know, people my generation, we don't have time. I mean, we have grandbabies, you know, we have all kinds of respect. Nobody ever has time. And I think that it's just a gigantic ploy of Satan to convince us that, you know, you don't really have time. But what we don't get, what we don't, that we desperately need when we don't spend time with Jesus, is we do not become convinced that God loves us. And I think that's the cry of pretty much every woman's heart, is to know that we are loved and accepted by God through Jesus Christ. Every woman in here, I'm pretty much willing to bet, if I would bet, that every woman in here, we just want to know that God loves us. We want to know that his love for us is not connected to our behavior. If we don't have a 30-minute quiet time, we need to know that. And that's when he teaches us that stuff. That's when he convinces us of his love for us. That's when it happens. And it can be when you're washing dishes. It can be when you're, you know, it can be when you're in the grocery store. It can be any time. It's just a matter of being intentional, of looking up and saying, Lord, you know, as you're hopefully not driving, but, you know, looking up and saying, God, right now, I just want to be intentional. I want to connect to you. God, right now, I just need that. That's when he teaches us those things. If we don't have the luxury of spending 30 minutes in a room, if we don't have the luxury of spending any time in a room alone, even a bathroom alone, I mean, it doesn't matter. In the shower, whenever, it doesn't matter. Because that's why it's important, though, because we become convinced that God loves us. And when we believe that God loves us, it changes our lives. It changes everything about us. Convinced of his love for us, we will absolutely become his. We will absolutely give our lives to him. If we are not convinced of his love for us, we will not believe that he's about our best good. We will not. We will believe that we have some part in causing him to love us. We'll try harder. We'll try to do better. We'll try to do it right. We'll try to get it right. We'll hunt for a method. We'll just be defeated. And you know why? Because that's a roadway that there is no end to. There's no answer there. Because it's not the way to Jesus. The way to Jesus is through the gospel. It's the way to God is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way, you know. There's no method, and therefore there's no measurement. And the thing that I especially like about that is there's no way to fail. If there's no measurement, you know, if nothing's being measured, then there's no way to get it wrong, you know. And everybody's time looks different. I mean, sometimes I think we have a tendency to look in each other's lives and I think we compare a lot. You know, I think Marcia talked about that last year, and we compare in a lot of ways. We just look into each other's lives and we think, gee, if only this or if only that. And you know what? It just goes nowhere good. It just goes nowhere good. And the right Christian-y kind of thing to say to that is, oh, compare yourself just to Jesus. But that's true, but The only way that we know that God loves us for sure, the only time that we can be convinced of his love for us, is if we sit and spend time with him. Other than that, if we have a quiet time that's more traditional, if we don't have it the way that we think we should or the way that we were taught somewhere along growing up in our younger years, we're condemned, we're guilty, and we don't feel like we have the right to go into the presence of God when our right to be in his presence has never, ever, ever had anything to do with us, but only with him. I think that, you know, it's with the so much comparison thing, I think it's good for us to remember that the details of our lives are different. Everybody in here, I'm thinking, and if you don't have a walk with the Lord, I'd love to talk to you afterwards and just tell you about Jesus, and maybe 8 people at your table are as well. That'd be great. But for all of us in here who have a walk with the Lord, our walk with him will look different. Our lives look different. Some people have difficult pasts. Some people have difficult presents. And some people have difficult, they don't know yet what's coming. We all have our stuff. You know what I mean? And our stuff is our stuff because it's what God is using to form us to become what it is that he will ask of us. That's what happens. And, you know, I think so. My husband and I have always had boats, and I think that, you know, I've thought of this often that, and we've been in storms in our boats, like way offshore and really big waves that, you know, those kind that if I think my husband looked concerned, I would be very afraid because he doesn't get afraid very often. It's kind of like that with the Lord. If I thought he was afraid about something or concerned, then I'd be very afraid. But I know he's not, so I'm good. It's kind of like that. But the time to read the manual about boating and stuff isn't when you're in the storm. It's not. Because there's going to be too many waves then, too. It's going to be too hard to read. And you're going to be crying because you think you're dying and you're not going to be able to see through the blurry wet now, pages. And but when we need Jesus, we need him. And when we know, when it becomes a response, when it becomes a love response of ours to respond to his love for us, we know how to find him. We seek him. And he shows himself to us. He shows himself. I mean, I don't know. I want to, you know what? Okay, when we get into the presence of God, he causes the words on the page to become who we are, not just what we know. That's what happens. And when he does that, we are changed. We are changed by the word. And then when we go into our marriages and when we're moms, as we are moms, we bring those changed people into those relationships with us. It's not about us being changed like for this. I'm praying, Lord, I'm not praying so much, Lord, enable me to do this. I'm praying, no, Lord, do this through me. Let me be just a vessel. And that's the same thing for all of us in all of our lives. When we have inside of our relationship with Lord, who we become becomes the person. He becomes greater in us than we are in us. And his love flows through us. And that comes into our mothering, and it comes into our being wives. And that's why there's no, you know, a little bit like some of my angst in doing this was, how do we teach our kids how to have quiet time? I don't know. There's no way to teach them, but we can demonstrate it to them. We can demonstrate it. And what does that have to do with our husbands? Well, I mean, we can kind of instruct and demonstrate to our children, but our husbands don't want us to teach them. Trust me, I know this. So we demonstrate it to them as well. And then in doing so, we reinforce it to our kids. It's a legacy. It's something that we demonstrate. And then as the Lord grows in us, he's the one who we bring into our marriages. You know, God himself, the Holy Spirit in us, has no trouble being submissive. The Holy Spirit in us has no trouble speaking kindly to our husbands. He has no trouble being tired. He doesn't get tired. Caring for our children, even though we don't feel good or we don't feel like it. These beautiful gifts that God has given to us. The Holy Spirit doesn't. And when he becomes bigger in us as a result of us spending time in his presence, that's an incredible thing. I have to just say, it feels so personal. It's just sad. You know, when we sit with Jesus, the thing that's most awesome is he speaks to us. You know, like if we're reading and he speaks to us, to think that the God of the universe takes time to lean down or to come from inside and to speak to us is an incredible thing. It's an incredibly intimate thing. It's God. It's God, ladies. It's God who speaks to us. We are just us. We are just people. We are just these vessels. Even if the lesson is hard, even if the lesson is hard, even if he's saying something to us that's difficult, it's God speaking to us. No matter what it is, to think that God speaks to us, I don't know how to express that in a way that even makes sense. But it's to become almost captivated by his love for us in such a way that we will give our all for him, that we will spend our lives for him, that we will instruct our children for him, because we can't not instruct our children, that we can't not love our husbands, the Holy Spirit through us, in the way that the Bible talks about, in the way that we know how to instruct our children and how to love our husbands in the way that the Holy Spirit will through us. The way we know that and the way we even know it's happening is because we've read it in the book. That's how we know. One of the most cool things about this particular, you know, I had no clue. This is so odd to me today. But one of the really cool things today about this time, about this time, this opportunity to speak just a little bit is the text that was chosen for this year. I mean, I read this text in my Bible, and then I went to the Lord and talked to him, you know, about this text and stuff, and he showed me something very amazing. So basically what I'm saying to you today is it's the gospel in our lives. It's believing that Jesus loves us. It's believing that God loves us through the person of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel, okay? So it's believing that and then having that love flow out of our lives into the lives of other people, our children, our husbands, our friends, whoever. Okay, so the text that we have for this year is the verse. It's 16:11 in the Psalm. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And so I read that, and then I went back up. I read from the bottom up, actually. And I connected that verse with the three verses ahead of it from 8 to 11. And in these four verses is the gospel. It's the Old Testament. It's David speaking prophetically. He's speaking prophetically. I don't know if he knew he was speaking prophetically or not, but this is a profound thing. And this is what happens when we spend time with Jesus. This is what I want to say. This is what happens. Let me read. Starting in verse 8, it says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is always at my right hand. I will not be shaken. He's speaking about the perfect life of Jesus Christ. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. He's speaking about the death of Christ. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. He's speaking of the resurrection of Christ. He's not leaving him in the grave. And then our verse, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. He's speaking about the ascension of Christ. And as I read that, I thought, Lord, that sounds so familiar. Where do I know that from? These verses sound so familiar. And he brought me to Acts in the second chapter, Acts chapter 2. David, Luke wrote the book, but David preached a sermon that Luke recorded. And it's in Acts 2, I think it's around 25 or so to 28, and longer, it goes on longer. But David quotes these verses. I mean, Peter quotes these verses from David. He quotes these exact verses, and he's speaking about the resurrection of Christ, and his whole sermon's about the resurrection of Christ. Now, when we think about the resurrection of Christ, it means that Jesus Christ is alive, and Peter goes on to teach in the sermon about the coming of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went, the Holy Spirit came, and those of us who are saved are filled and dwelt with the Holy Spirit, the presence of God who lives in us. And it's through the Holy Spirit, through the presence of God in us, that we can live this life. It's because of the Holy Spirit that we can read his word. It's because of the Holy Spirit that we know what the word says when we spend time with him. It's because of the Holy Spirit that he causes us to become changed, that we become what the word says instead of just knowing what it says. It's because of the Holy Spirit that we can have this intimacy with Jesus Christ that almost just leaves the person speechless to know that this God of the universe is willing to be so incredibly intimate with us. And we don't know this unless we spend time with him. It's an investment of time. It's an investment of time. All of us will need him. We need him today. The Bible says we need him for life and breath and all things. We need him. It's so worth spending the time. It's because of the Holy Spirit that we can experience the joy of his presence regardless of the circumstances of our lives. You know what? When I remember back to being a mom, way long time ago, when I remember back to my daughter trying to die every night, when I remember back to being lonely and so alone and my husband being gone always and not having any friends, you know, I didn't have a relationship with my mom at that time. I wish I did, but I didn't. My mother-in-law wasn't close by. I don't remember. I have to think about that stuff. I had to make notes about my own story, my own life in order to come up with these things. You know what I do remember? I do remember Jesus. I do remember Jesus speaking to me and changing my heart and changing the way that I thought and the way that I felt. I remember not being scared to death, ultimately not being scared to death every time my daughter's heart would stop or she would stop breathing. I remember starting to pray out loud. I remember the joy. I remember what God himself started to teach me about being in his presence. It's about the joy. Ladies, it's about the joy. And the joy, like Sarita said before, like the verse says, the joy is found only in the presence of God. Only in the presence of God do we become what it says on the page is what we are reading. If we don't have a Bible, I mean, if a lot of people around the world don't have Bibles, that's okay. Lord still teaches them. Holy Spirit still teaches them. And they still become, through him, what the book says. What the book says. Yeah, it still happens. But that's why having a time with Jesus is so important. It's not to have a quiet time, not to get it right, not to make sure you get something. Believe it or not, we do not control God with our behavior. Believe it or not, we don't do it. You know, if we don't do this or do that or do it wrong, we can't do it wrong. We're not gonna be punished, and we're not gonna have consequences for that. He delights in our presence. He sings over us. He just wants us to sit with him. If we sit with him and spend time with him, he will jump through hoops for us to love us, to show us the love that he has for us. And when he does, we are changed. We are changed by that love. We can't help but to be changed by that love. That's it. That's what I want everybody to know. And I think we all have that same cry of our heart. We all want so much to know that we are loved by Jesus, that we are loved by God through Jesus Christ. And ladies, I want to tell you that you are, that we are. We are. We are. There's nothing in your life that has precluded you from that love that's ever happened. And there's nothing in your life that's made that better for you. Like God's going to love you better than somebody else. It's not that way at all. We're loved because of the person of Jesus Christ, because of what Jesus did, not because of anything that we have ever done. And that's what joy is. It's knowing that, being convinced of that, and also knowing in our hearts, from our heads to our hearts, absolutely that we will spend eternity in the presence of God. We'll spend eternity with him. Just like Jesus prayed, you know, on the way to the cross, he endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him, because he knew he was going to be with his Father. The same thing is true with us. God is for us. God is for us. God is for us. So God loves you. An older woman told me a long time ago, my mother-in-law, ladies, she told me, Jay, read your Bible. I'm saying to you, ladies, read your Bibles. Read your Bible. Sit, spend time with Jesus. Get it on CD. Is that right, CD? Get it on whatever, on my phone. I have my Bible. I have a few different, get it however you can. Listen to it if you don't have time. Listen to it. Read it. I mean, that's the only way that any of us are going to ever know that God truly does love us.